Genesis chapter 22. We'll be reading verses 1 through 13. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him therefore a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father, and he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together, and they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. Let us pray. Father, please bless this, the reading of your word. Please bless us in understanding your word. Please, dear Father, guide us this day that we might understand who and what a father truly is. Forgive us for our sins, our Lord, and please strengthen us each day that we might grow closer to thee. In thy name we pray. Amen. You know, as I studied for this week, I come to an understanding that the word father, that the description of a father is an impossible role to fill. It came as quite a shock to me. Main reason is that the word father is ascribed to God, and none of us earthly men can ever live up to that. It's an impossible role. But this morning we're going to try to find what can we do to be our best. The word father scripturally means the word pater, which is nourisher, protector, life giver, upholder. And it's a word that's precious in scripture because it is a word that we are told to render unto our Father in heaven. In the Lord's Prayer, it says, Our Father, if we were to go to Matthew chapter 6, it says, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. It's a term that Jesus taught his disciples to call out unto God when they are approaching God. It would be a word that to us would mean someone we can always count on. I'm going to share a testimony with you about one of the young girls that came to me Friday night and asked to come to know the Lord, and I held it back. This little girl is 8 years old, almost 9. And she says, Pastor, I need to pray. I need to have the Lord in my heart. And I said, Why do you want to do that? I'm pretty tough on the kids with questions. I want to make sure they know what they're doing. And she says, You know, I think with him in my life, things could be better for me. She says, We just moved here. Now, don't forget, guys, this is an 8-year-old kid. She says, My mother is looking for a job. We don't have anywhere to live because my stepdad just got put in jail. What a weekend for an 8-year-old kid. What a role model that father in her life is. She didn't say anything about her dad, but her stepdad now is in jail. We have this young child stuck out with her mother. And that little girl was smart enough to know that there's only one who can give us all we need, and that's our Father who is in heaven. Broke my heart to listen to that story. And, you know, it was just tough to get through it with her. It was a lot harder for me emotionally than it was on her. See, it was black and white to her. life is wrong. I'm too young to do anything about it, and I need help. So she chose to call on her Father who's in heaven. That is an amazing testimony to the innocence of youth and their understanding of the role of our Father in heaven. And I would like all of us this morning, a lot of dads here, and guys, I'm going to, naturally it's Father's Day, I get to get all over you. Wives, poke them if they fall asleep. But today we're going to talk about a man who had the role of father and what characteristics there were in that man. That man is Abraham. We just read this passage, and as we look at it, as I switch back and forth between Abraham and God, trying to get some parallel there, the thing that struck me most, Matthew 23:9, Jesus said this, "And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father which is in heaven." And he was talking about the rabbis and the Pharisees there and the terms that were used for them. And what Jesus was instructing is understand that in this world, the only spiritual father you have is God. Now, you've got a dad, and there's nothing wrong with Father's Day and acknowledging your father on earth. But Jesus wanted to draw out and say, so that everybody understand, don't think your preacher or missionary or the leader in your church is your father, your spiritual father. There is none, he says. Jesus' own words, it says, "Therefore, and call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father, which is in heaven." There's no man on earth that stands for God here and is your spiritual father. There is only one, and that is God in heaven. But what characteristics did the God in heaven put in the father here on earth? Was it to be the dad that got tossed in jail and watched his poor kid sit through Father's Day without a dad? Was it like the little kid in the middle school over here a couple of years ago who lived with his mother and she was, because his dad was getting out of prison, as soon as dad got out of prison, the mother was going in? Is that what the role of a father is supposed to provide? No, and I'm going to tell you what. I titled this sermon, "Father, the One Who Stands Alone," because fathers, there are many times you're going to have to take a firm stand that's going to leave you alone. Today, as we read the story of Abraham, how do you think Sarah felt about it when Abraham told her that he'd take Isaac to the mountain? What do you think that mother's... Remember, Abraham's 100 years old when he has his child, this blessed child. Isaac was a promise from God. In fact, Scripture tells us that Abraham's faith... And I need to clarify something. Some people will tell you that this story today is the faith of Abraham that brought him salvation. It was not. When Abraham believed God would provide him a child, well, that's when his faith equaled his salvation. This is later on in his life. He's 100 years old, has a kid. Sarah's up in her 90s. They have a child, and all of a sudden Abraham's going to his wife saying, "Going to offer sacrifice in the mountains tomorrow." And I don't know what he said to her, so I can only guess. That mother would say, "Well, why?" And he says, "God told me to offer our son on an altar in the mountains." You imagine what it was like for that mother, how her heart broke. But that father, God spoke to him. God told him what to do. A dad's initial responsibility in a family is to be someone God can talk to. He is to be a man that is in a relationship with God where God can talk to him. Sadly, in America today, and all over the world, but I'm going to deal with America, and even in the churches today, we see families that the father, God cannot get through to them because the sin in their lives has separated them from God. 1 John 1:6, "If we say that we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, we're liars. And we do not the truth." So when we claim that we're in a relationship with God, you men out there, and we say, "Yeah, I'm on top of things and I've taken care of my family," you can put them in the nicest car and the nicest house. You can fill them with the best food. But unless God can speak to you because of where you're at in your life, as Abraham was, You're not dad. You're not a father. A father is the man who God can speak to. Nowhere in the Bible do we have a right to shift that obligation to our wives. We have a commitment, a command, let me say, to be committed to where God can speak to us for our families. It's an obligation. And God can only speak to those who are in a spiritual position in their life that they can hear Him. John says if we're living in sin and we claim that we have fellowship with God, we're liars. And we'll get dads out of the way here for just a minute. Isn't that just pretty much black and white truth, guys, that we all need to get a hold of? We Christians need to understand that if we're living in sin, we have no fellowship with God. I'm not saying you don't have salvation. You're saved, you're saved. But there's a lot of years here on earth after you're saved that it's very important to have a fellowship with Him. It's very important that God and you have a relationship. He can be the God of your salvation and not be the Lord of your life. But we need to allow God to be the Lord of our lives, to be in control of our lives. God instructs the Christian family through the Father. You know that scripture? That the dad of the house is who God instructs the family through. Let me ask you something, dads. If God can't get through to you, what happens to the instruction for your family? Well, it can go through the mother. It could go if God needs to, but that's not the way God set things up. I got to be a little tough today. I want you to understand God does never change His rules. Get it out of your heads that God modifies His actions based on man. He doesn't. We live in a society where television tells us that you tolerate, accept, and change, and you go with the flow. God doesn't do that. God is the same yesterday. He is the same today and will be the same tomorrow. He does not change. So when mankind changes their behavior, it does not change God. Now, God may, in His divine will, in His great compassion and His mercy, He may allow man to do things, but you don't change God. So when God is having to come to the family through someone other than the Father, we have changed the whole dynamic of what a family is. Now, women, I'm not taking away from you. You may be godly women that God talks to and gives you instruction for your family, and praise God for that. But understand something. Your family won't be what God wants it to be until the husband listens to God and can hear God. That's a promise from Scripture. And that's tough. It is very tough. The thing that saves our bacon, guys, is that we serve a forgiving God. That if I can't hear Him today because I'm living in a sinful lifestyle and I just go repent and change, He'll talk to me tomorrow. He never stops wanting us back. So I don't want anybody to walk out here saying, oh, it's too late, I've blown it. No, no, no. Change today. I know in this little church, and we're real little today, this is real scarce. I guess everybody heard about the sermon. I see so many of you that I know so well. And I watch you go up to your mountain high and fall in your valley low. And I watch God reach down and perform a mighty miracle in your life and pull you out of health problems, pull you back from the edge of death, change things in this your life so that other things can be accomplished. I watch it and you hit that mountain high and you come and say, Pastor, man, I'm just going to do this for God. I'm going to do that for God. I'm going to do that for God. And a week later, Satan's got you down in the valley. And you forgot everything you said you were going to do for God. And don't feel bad. I do the same thing. But I'm telling you, you guys don't get to see what I do. I put on my suit on Sunday and you think I'm sweet. But I know what goes on behind the scenes, guys. And we climb to that mountain high and we're so high and we're so glorifying God and we're so praising Him and worshiping Him. And guys, we're reaching out to God and saying, I'm going to be the example for my family I should be.
And a few days later, we're laying in the valley because we refused to hear what he said while we were on the mountain. See, where did he talk to Moses? He talked to Moses on the mountain. And you and I, he lifts us out of the valleys. But guys, what happens to our gratitude the first time something starts to go bad? What happens to our commitment to, Pastor, I'm going to be at church every Sunday. I know I'm supposed to be there. What happens to, Pastor, I'm going to read my Bible every day. I'm going to pray. Well, quit telling the pastor and talk to God. If you can't talk to God and you got to talk to me, you're in bad shape. Because I ain't got no divine intervention for you. You need to humble yourselves before God and be a man that God can speak to. One who God will speak to. The second thing we see in Abraham's life, verse 3. Let me point something out in 2. What God said to Abraham. And he said, take now thine son, thine only son, Isaac. God is being very specific with Abraham. He's nailed it down and say, Abraham, I need the one child you have. Now, Abraham did have another son, Ishmael, with Hagar, the handmaiden of Sarah. And this child was not of the line that God had blessed. But Isaac was considered his only son. Said, take your only son. Now, verse 3. And Abraham rose up early. The man who's a Christian father is the man that starts quickly on the task God gives him to do. What would you do? Gosh, let me pick somebody here. Warren, you got 3 boys. What if God's come to you and says, I want you to offer up Jason on the altar? How quickly would you jump to do that? Abraham rose up early. Early. He didn't wait. He didn't sit around and argue with God. The godly man, the godly father is the man that doesn't look for excuses to get out of what God tells him to do. He simply does it. Abraham rose up early in the morning to get started. Do you not know his heart was broke? Now, we see Abraham had great faith, and as we see in the story, but he didn't wait. See, Abraham understood, after all these years he had been around, that the quicker you do God's will, the quicker you receive God's blessing. And that's hard to comprehend, isn't it? That if I quickly go out and sacrifice my son, God's going to bless me? That's hard. It's very hard. But we see here that he rose up early in the morning. When God's direction makes no sense to us, we must simply go quickly. Isaiah 55:8 says this to us, guys. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. How many times do we try to figure God out? How many times do you try to put God in a box? You ever do that? You paint your mental picture of a God with a face and a body. And we paint a picture of a God and how he's going to do things. And you know, God's told us completely, you got no clue what I'm like. You have no idea what my ways are or my thoughts are. Abraham evidently got a hold of that, and he understood that God's ways are not man's ways. See, the total opposite of anything you or I would be to sacrifice one of our children. Isn't that totally against everything there is in us? Yet what did God do with his only son? Put him on a cross for other people. Anybody here willing to give your kid for somebody else? I don't think so. Yet God did it, and we can't understand it. We can appreciate it, and we can love it and admire it, but you'll never understand it because God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. Abraham got a hold of that concept somehow, that God's telling me to do this thing, and it makes no sense to do what God's telling me to do. But I'm going to do it. Let me give you this. If every one of us throughout our Christian lives had simply done what God said, instead of trying to understand it, do you know how blessed we would be today? Do you know how many blessings we've missed out on because God didn't make sense to us? He's not supposed to make sense to us. His thoughts are so far beyond us. His ways are beyond us. Let me tell you, I see in the churches today what's happening, folks. And we can see it this morning with how empty the church is. We have decided, I need God around 1 hour a week if I'm not busy. That's all I'm needing. God, you understand. Let me tell you how I know you understand, because I tell you you understand. We've changed our concept of God to being someone we dictate to instead of listen. We've become a people, and dads, it's our fault. We are responsible for the spiritual makeup of the family in America. It's our responsibility. You can't get out of it. But we've taken it and we've said, God, I only want to go to church 1 hour a week unless there's something else going on. And then, Lord, I'll have to put it off. God, I don't want to open this Bible. I see teachers in churches across America, and sadly some preachers that think they could come in God's house and preach an hour a week and they don't need to be at church. Let me tell you, all of you out who want to be teachers, get your tail in church and hear God's word. If you're not, then get out of the teaching because you're holding people back. God instructs his men in how to lead his people. He is God. I didn't make these rules, guys. I didn't. But I understand the rule that says God is bigger than I am. And I have an obligation to be one God will speak to. I have an obligation to be one who will move quickly. And I know from my own life that I drug my feet so many times. You all know I didn't start preaching until I was up in my 40s. I wasted years of my life because I drug my feet. I wasn't willing to do what I didn't understand. Stupid, because I missed so many blessings. You young folks out there, get a hold of what God is telling you to do and do it. Quit wasting your life, because there will be a point come when you look back and say, it's too late. It's too late. Get a hold of what God wants you to do. Verse 4. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. Do you remember in verse 2, God says, head out to the mountains and I'll tell you which mountain? Well, we have a man here that saw the place he's to go. So he listened to God from the time God said go until he saw the place he's supposed to be. Somewhere in there, God designated the specific spot. Remember, the original instruction was to go to the mountains, and I will tell you where the place is. So along the journey, when he started out doing God's will, he listened to God as he went. And that's another place, guys, we fall short. Sometimes we're all gung-ho, boom, jump out there, and we quit listening to God along the way. We don't hear those instructions and what we're supposed to do. I can tell you this because I was years ago, and still some degree, very good at jumping out and getting ready to preach and writing the sermon up and doing all this work and realizing it had nothing to do with what God wanted me to say to the church. Till I finally got enough common sense that if I work real hard in the Word and let Him pick the subject, I don't have to strain anymore. I just do what He tells me. See, I can't preach to try to impress you. First thing is, I'm not eloquent or articulate enough to do it. I'm not smart enough to do it. But the job he's given me to preach says, I want you to go preach, and I'll tell you where to go to after you're on the direction to go. It's our obligation to start out and let him instruct us as we go. That's what he did with Abraham. By the time Abraham got to the mountains, he knew which mountain to go to. So you don't stop listening. You listen to him along the path as you go. A father is one who hears God's instructions along the way. Verse 5. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Wow. This has been pointed out millions of times in Scripture. It's nothing new to you. Abraham told him and Isaac would both be back. He had complete faith that God would not require the death of Isaac. That's an amazing faith. He heads out with everything he needs. And as we get further in the story, we see his faith is truly tested. Abraham's faith never failed him. Now, remember, this is a guy, and let me give you another point about fathers while we're at this place. A father is someone who's full of mistakes, right? They blow it all the time. Abraham, twice on his trip, he lied about his wife. He didn't have any faith. He was scared to death. He travels through Egypt. I mean, Sarah must have been one fine-looking woman, because the way the Bible describes it, it's all these men really wanted Sarah. So Abraham had a good-looking wife. Well, he gets in a foreign land, and these guys are looking at his wife, and he says, "Honey, tell him you're my sister." Well, that really built up your trust and love, won't it? Make you feel like your husband's there for you. So Abraham was a guy who fell several times. He was a man who grew into this great faith he had. I don't want you to misunderstand and think that he was just born with it. First thing Abraham did of faith is when God told him over in about the 12th chapter of Genesis to head out, go to a foreign land. But along the way, Abraham fell a couple of times. Then Abraham comes along and his wife comes and says, "You know, we got to have a kid. I want you to sleep with my handmaiden and have a child." So Abraham did. He fell again. So a father is someone who's full of mistakes. But Abraham's story tells us this, is you can't live your whole life in the mistakes. There's some point you got to grow up. You got to take responsibility. You got to stop living and saying that it's okay. I'll get there. You know, today's a real good day for all of us dads to realize that we need to grow up. He heard God's instruction, and on when he got to the mountains, he told the men, "Me and Isaac will be back." Great statement of faith. Abraham's faith never failed him, never let him go. And why is that? Because through his failures in life, he learned that God would always build him up and strengthen him. And he grew to be the man God wanted him to be. Verses 8 through 12. In fact, let's read 7. "And Isaac spake unto Abraham, his father, and said, My father, and he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire in the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" Wow, what a question from your child. "Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went, both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son." His faith had told him to tell the young men him and Isaac would be back. When his child says, "Dad, where's the burnt offering?" Abraham looked at that boy and said, "God will provide." But when provision didn't come, what did Abraham do? He laid his son on the altar. He bound him to the altar. I cannot imagine what it must have been like for that dad. We don't know the whole conversation. What was Isaac crying out and saying as Abraham lifted that knife over him? What was that child thinking of his dad? Whether we like it or not, Abraham did the right thing. See, there could nothing stand between Abraham and what God's command was for him to do. Nothing. No matter how hard it was. What's the lesson for us, dads? Our children belong to God, not to us. They're not our possessions. We're temporary caretakers for these children here on earth. We are to protect them and take care of them until our Father in heaven says, "I want my children back." Abraham was a father who never stopped in following through on God's commands. Look at America today. How many dads don't even encourage their children to go to church? How many dads allow their children to say, "Oh, I don't want to go today, Dad. Okay, I'll see you when I get home." Man, what have we done? What have we done? See, I guarantee you this, if you follow Isaac's life after this adventure, Isaac knew God. That young man learned what it meant to be firm in his convictions and his following of God. His dad gave him an example, said, "Son, when God speaks, you don't stop." Yet in America today, us dads, we've gotten so lazy, that we allow our children to skip church just because they don't want to be there. We don't do Bible studies in our home where our kids can hear us read the Word and know God. These little children that came to me throughout Bible school, the majority of them came from a denomination or a church that doesn't teach Jesus Christ the Savior. So these kids had not heard it. They came to me only with instruction by the Spirit of God, not from man and certainly not from their dad. And God loved them so much, he called them forth, because their dads were not spiritual leaders in their home, because their dads did not hear God's voice, because their dads didn't set the example, because their dads would rather watch a football game than be in church, because their dad's too tired at night to read the Bible. That's what we've become as dads. And that's not what Scripture shows us. Our children are dying, guys. Look in this little town, 5,000 people. Twice in the last 3 months, young teenage boys have killed their friend with a knife to the chest. Their friends. Because their dads did not teach them what life was about, and once it's over, it's over. 2 weeks ago, a 21-year-old man stabbed his 1-year-old child to death. How can you do that? Well, I'm going to be very hard, and you guys know that I don't like to go here. If you're not spiritually instructing your children, you're causing them to die. They need that instruction in their lives. I know, I've got my daughter here this morning. My son, they're both good Christian people, and it's not by their daddy's influence. It's because God blessed them. I was a sorry dad. So when I tell you, get off your tails and be a dad, I'm telling you from personal experience. You can let your kids down and hope they turn out okay. Or you can be the father that we see an example of here and help them be okay, that they might grow and be strong. Dads, I really don't want to beat you up today, because this applies to everyone out here, whether you're dads, whether you're single men, whether you're mothers, whether you're single women out here. It doesn't matter. The implication of this story is this: when God speaks, you act. When God speaks, you don't wait around and look for another direction to go, because God's direction is always right. When God speaks and gives you clear indication of what you're to do, you just go do it. And along the way, you keep listening, that you don't lose your strength and fall behind, because if Abraham would have started thinking about his desires over God, he would have never made it to the mountain. But he kept listening to God. If you get to the place God sent you and it's a dead end, folks, no matter what it costs you, you just do what God says, because as we see at the end, God provided a ram over caught in the bushes. And then the angel of God, which was Jesus Christ, says, "Abraham, hold up. You've proven yourself." I'm going to ask you a question this morning. Who did Abraham prove himself to? Tell me. God knew way before this story started. Who did Abraham prove himself to? He proved himself to Abraham. God doesn't need to test you to know what you're made of. He knows. He knows whether you succeed or fail, but you don't know sometimes. When God puts a test in your life, the word tempt at the start of this is a bad translation. It's the word test. When God puts a test in your life, it's so that you can prove to yourself, "I can do it." Abraham, or God, knew exactly what Abraham would do before it ever started. From the beginning of time, he knew what Abraham would do. But when God tests you, remember something, and you fail, you haven't just failed God, you failed yourself, because you've lost your confidence to be a godly man. When the test is hard, stand up and do it. Just do it. Lord, help me. I think about how many Sunday evenings I'm thinking, Oh, man, I wish there was no church tonight. I want to stay home and sleep. And I look at Abraham and think, man, what a failure I am. We have to stop the mess, men, that we've created. And yes, us men did it. Because the Bible is specific. It is our responsibility to be the spiritual leaders in our homes. And we can stop right now if we say, God, show me the direction, and wherever your point, I'll go. Let's look at Mentor. He was talking about the pain rehab clinic he's going through. A year ago, Mentor couldn't stand up straight. All of you, he was leaning on a cane. He had surgery so he didn't lose the total use of his legs. He had surgery, and all of a sudden, he's feeling worse than before the surgery. There was no hope there, but God Almighty put him in a clinic in California. It ain't them doctors out there. God put Mentor there because he said, Mentor, get off your tail and go. Now, what if he would have said, God, that's too much trouble? He would still be hanging over that old cane today. I mean, it was okay with me because I could beat him at golf then, but he went where God said to go. Men, we got to go. When God speaks, we got to go. If he says, go to church because there's praise at that church for me, get off your tail, set an example, and go. If he says, pick up that Bible and read to your family, don't hesitate. Pick it up and read it. We are a lazy generation. It's time for us to get back to the foundations of people like Abraham, that when he heard the voice, he never considered the cost. He considered the reward. Your children are loaned to you, dads. It's your job to take care of them while they've been loaned to you. Because they're going to go home and be with their real father someday. What report will go before them? As I told the parents tonight, Friday night, Jesus makes a reference in Scripture. When they try to keep the children from coming to him, Jesus says, get out of their way. Let them come. See, their angels talk to my dad. What kind of report is your family's, the angels of your children, given to your father and him? Where do we stand? Do we stop today? See, today is great. We can be Abraham and just from this service on, just head forward, head to the mountains. Go in the direction he makes us go. We can do that today. You don't have to be perfect coming in here. You ain't going to be perfect going out. Neither am I. But man, if we'll just realize God's ways are the perfect way, and we'll go do it today, our children can have such a beautiful life in front of them. Such a beautiful life. Please stand. What are we singing, right? Okay. In just a minute, we'll be singing a song on the screen. I want you to think today, dads, I'm just going to ask you a question. For those of you who are visiting, forgive me if I sound blunt. Guys who are here know me. You got the guts to go forward. You got the courage to be the man God's telling you to be. If you do, then just tell him, God, from here on out, I'm your man. That's all it takes. I challenge you today, if God's hit your heart and you think you're going to get wishy-washy, the best way to do it is get up here in front of people, get on your knees and say, God, I'm all yours. Maybe there's some of the ladies here today. Last week we saw such an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in services, and it was an amazing thing. It touched only women. Today, if God has spoken to your heart, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, you need to get him there. If you're a Christian who's just not fulfilling his responsibility, get it right. It's that easy. You can leave here so happy. Bow your heads, close your eyes. Father, your word is such a beautiful thing, and men are so inadequate at trying to preach it. Lord, you say the foolishness of preaching, and dear God, we know it is foolishness. I just pray that the power of your Spirit through the reading of your word today might touch hearts of those who need to get their lives on track, Lord, that if there's dads here today who are playing dad, that don't understand. If there's men here, Lord, of any, whether dads or not, and they're just playing games with you, Lord, help them understand. There's no fooling you. This day, dear God, I pray, touch the hearts of those who need to get things right with you, dear Lord. Bring joy to the hearts of those who do have it right in their lives. Fill them with a peace that they know everything is good. But if there's fathers or men here, dear God, who have gotten so off track and so out of whack, then I pray you'll touch them, Lord. Move them. Bring them up here to the front of the church. Let them get on their knees and talk to you. In thy name we pray. Amen.